JC2S, Part 2. Number 18B.
All right, so as we enter now into that tone of medicine, I wanted to bring up a point here that Mrs. Eddy brought out in the Christian Science Journal, Volume 7, in July 1889. In that Christian Science Journal on page 188, entitled The Separation of Truth and Error. And I feel it's appropriate here at this point, because we're just leaving that sense of what it is when we welcome the whole Christ spirit and give up a superficial sense of Christianity, that as we enter into medicine, we want to give up a superficial sense of the truth. And this is something which she shows us here in this article called The Separation of Truth and Error, that she gave, and I will project it on the screen. It is maybe not always easy for all of us to read, because it is just a copyright from a smallish letters, but I'm going to read it, so there's no concern whether we really see it at all. But we want to see that as we enter into this realm of truth, that we know that truth has two offices, that it is to protect the truth and to destroy error, that it is to, as I say, it establishes itself through the Christ, through the Emmanuel, through God coming to us, but it has the opposite effect of the retranslation, that when truth comes to us, it overturns in us everything that isn't like that truth. That's the second translation. So, therefore, it overturns everything in us by analyzing what the error is, uncovering what the error is, and annihilating what the error is. So we see, therefore, that that cannot be avoided, that when that Christ operation brings the truth to us, brings that specific idea which is adapted to our specific situation, that that idea, Mrs. Eddy says, through the law of opposites, analyzes, therefore, what it is not within our mentality. It uncovers within our mentality what it is not, and it destroys within our mentality what it is not. And therefore, that is an operation that often happens unbeknownst to us. Suddenly, we're faced with a physical claim. And as we've talked before, we wonder, where did this claim come from? I have been knowing the truth, and suddenly I'm faced with a physical problem. Where have I gotten off the track, so to speak? Where have I gone wrong? And Mrs. Eddy says, no, it's everything that you are doing is right. She says, truth makes error less, that as we rise, we begin to see the allness of God, hence the awful unreality called evil, through that one valued logic of spirit, through the equipollence of God, the reasoning through that one valued logic. So as we begin to embrace that one valued logic and begin to focus only on the allness of God, hence the awful unreality called evil, and our consciousness becomes fuller and fuller with the truth, then that consciousness, which is entertaining ideas of mind and entertaining the ideas of spirit and entertaining the ideas of soul, principle, life, truth, and love, that those ideas that we're entertaining in consciousness, they are at work, you see, and those ideas themselves are analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating all that is within our consciousness. And therefore, that is not done on a conscious level, where we consciously take an idea and analyze, uncover, and annihilate the error as against the claim. And I think that's often where maybe we were trying to manipulate the system a little bit more, where in the method of practice, Dorley would say, well, you put the problem behind you and you turn to the divine mind, and that idea is revealed, and that idea therefore corrects the error. Well, we were always waiting for the idea to come, so therefore we could analyze the error, we could uncover it, and we could annihilate it. But we see, no, that it's much more an impersonal process going on of this separation between truth and error. That really we see that what we do is welcome the whole Christ operation. We welcome that Emmanuel. We therefore, by seeking what mind is and what spirit is and what soul is and what principle is and what life, truth, and love are, and by filling our consciousness with the allness of God in its ideas, as I say, that consciousness comes to us of those ideas, and maybe it finds like within us. If it finds like within us, fine. Therefore, it just establishes itself within our consciousness. But the situation is, if that like doesn't find like within our consciousness, that's, we know, when the second translation goes on within us on the Christian Science level, beginning, then that whole consciousness itself begins to root out. It begins to uncover all those universal, collective, and individual beliefs within us that do not respond to the ideas which we have been entertaining. And that is a self-operating system. Those ideas just begin to be at work within consciousness, and they're just rooting out those erroneous beliefs, analyzing them, uncovering them, and annihilating them. But the point is that Mrs. Eddy wants to bring out is that they must be analyzed, they must be uncovered in order for them to be annihilated. That we can't stop that uncovering process from going on. It must happen. And so therefore, as we see now, we can't be concerned if suddenly an error has presented itself as a physical claim. That's just the Christ at work. What we have seen with ideas that has analyzed and brought forward this claim, but we don't make a reality out of it. We don't say, well, now this is my problem. We step out of the way. We let that which has been uncovered destroy itself. So this is what this sense of medicine is going to bring out, that it must be uncovered. So don't flee in front of the fact that it's uncovered. Don't go back. Don't become sluggers in the race. Just because we have these physical difficulties, we go back to spiritualism, or we go back to medical practices or something like that. She says, no, that's progress. That is taking us forward. That is ridding out our consciousness of all that which needs to be removed. So, therefore, in this article of separation of truth and error, she wants to show the need for uncovering the error and not taking a superficial sense of just denying error. And I picked it up here because we just came out how we're to welcome the whole garment of Christ and let go of our superficial sense of things. So here, when we come into the subject of medicine, we must welcome the whole garment of medicine, of that truth that heals, and not just hang on to a superficial sense of truth healing, or how we think the truth should heal, or how we feel that, well, we shouldn't be faced with any error. Well, if the errors have been there for thousands of years, and if we've been born into this morphogenetic field of beliefs, then they are being wrought out by the truth. So this separation of truth and error is trying to take away a superficial sense of handling error, and showing that the full sense of what it means to analyze, uncover, and handle the error. So she writes this just 100 years ago in July 1889. Let's take a look at it. She says, "The most insidious form of evil, the highest attenuation of error, concocted by mortal mind, to oppose Christian Science is that one taught in Chicago and recently illustrated in New York. The teaching and the scandal are related as cause and effect. It is not with personalities we have to do, but with error. The formula of this error is, God is all, God is good, there is no evil. So far, this is science. Science adds to this abstract formula, there is no evil, that is, evil has no principle or permanence. But we are in a sense of evil. This sense is a false sense, is error. And our problem is how to work out of the error. Science says we work out of it by uncovering it. The error must be seen before it can be cast out. Science recognizes the warfare that the apostles speak of, the enmity between the flesh and the spirit. It declares, the way is straight and narrow that leads to the understanding that God is life. It is a warfare with the flesh, whereby we must conquer sin, sickness, and death, now or hereafter, but certainly before we can reach the goal of spirit or life as God. But error takes up the scientific formula at the point, there is no evil, and says, therefore there is no evil for you to get out of. All you have to do is to deny its existence. Error does not want to be uncovered. That is what it fears. What it wants to be is denied. In this way, for to stop at denial is to confound truth with error. Science says, cast out error. Error says, do not see me. Science says, destroy. Error says, deny. Science destroys the sense of sin. Error teaches man to sin without a sense of sin. The next inevitable step in error is, if there is no evil, I can commit no sin. This devil's logic first breaks down the eternal wall of the separation between truth and error, and then, to human sense, spans the impassable gulf that separates good and evil. This conclusion of error once reached, the moral anchorage is lost, and the bark drifts helpless amid the surging waves. Whether it will finally be swallowed up by free love or other forms of gross sensualism, or by pantheism, theosophy, the higher attenuations of error, is a matter of individual predilection, the play of forces of mortal mind that none can calculate. The subtle poison of this error is working far and wide. Its emissaries have been active. Many have partaken of it. Many who are sincere and honest in purpose, good and lovable by human standards in thought and life. Sin's necessity is to destroy itself and so yield to the government of God, wherein is no power to sin. To destroy sin is love's method of pardon. What a lesson in love! And in love's method is the incident that suggests these lines. It is the higher human consciousness of science that brought on this consummation of error, this rushing to its own destruction. Be still and know that I am God, is its word to us. This error clung to us, and we knew not how to free ourselves from the standing reproach to Christian Science, carried in the untruthful assumption of its name. But as we honor God, as we saw divine science divine, He worked for us, and the destruction through the methods of love is more complete than any that human means could have devised. So we see here how she very strongly is denying, therefore, and bringing, I should say, exposing that superficial sense of handling error, where she says very clearly, therefore, that it's the devil's logic that wants error to just be denied. She says, but that's not what truth is doing. She says, truth is uncovering error, and it must uncover the error. And therefore, she says that that's then what we don't want to happen, huh? So as we go through this tone of truth as the medicine, over and over again, we will see how that truth comes to us now and analyzes and uncovers. That, as we see, brings up the error, as she says, it must be seen. And so it analyzes it and uncovers it. And she says the error must be seen before it can be cast out. So she says, don't be concerned if we see it. That's good. It has to be seen. It has to be uncovered. And then, as we now see, we know, she says, when it's uncovered, it's already two-thirds destroyed. And then she says the last third destroys itself. But the nothingness of nothing then becomes plain. Okay, well, let's take a break. Okay, so we now come to this big tone of truth. And therefore, when we look at its place value as a subject within science, theology, and medicine, we see, therefore, that it appears as the last big subject in this chapter. So therefore, the last is the last, meaning that something has gone before. So we see that when I gave out that layout, it's not a matrix, it's just a layout of the chapter of science, theology, and medicine, that of the whole chapter, which is quite a large sheet that you have. If you don't have them, they're available. That I've reduced it, and it's very small on the screen, but it doesn't matter, just it's the idea of it. To see the place value, then, of this subject of truth, that truth always constitutes that which has gone before. That when they asked Jesus, what is the truth, he didn't answer. He would have had a lot to say. And I'm sure they just wanted to know in one simple sentence. So the truth constitutes quite a bit. It's a holistic form. It's a state of divine consciousness which brings in that whole view where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So we see then that all that has gone before constitutes the truth. That whole subject of science, which is therefore brought out through the main tone of mind, spirit, soul, in principle, that whole tone now is the basis for the truth. And we know therefore that this subject is divided into understanding and demonstration. So we have then that usually say that mind, spirit, soul constitute the understanding, the basis of the principle, and that life, truth, and love are the essence of the principle, or the demonstrating ability of the principle, that which principle demonstrates, or how principle expresses itself. So therefore, we see that mind, spirit, and soul build up the foundation of the new science, taking away its mythological foundation of mortal mind, matter, and body, and sense testimony, and giving to that principle, that science of God, therefore the new constituents of reality, the new constituents from which that principle is to be based. Now, Therefore, that principle now is based on that understanding, that basis. That's what we have gained, the understanding of the new science, the new principle, through understanding what mind, spirit, and soul, what they represent, what they are. That gives us the understanding for understanding the principle of all principles, the science of all sciences. But that principle of all principles and science of all sciences, what does it demonstrate? It demonstrates life. It lives. It lives in our consciousness. And when that principle lives in our consciousness, that's theology. So therefore, we see that now when that principle, which is based on mind, spirit, and soul, is taken as the living theology, the living life experience, then that heals. That's the medicine. That's the ideal whole consciousness with which heals. So you see, medicine or the remedy is based on mind, spirit, and soul, which is that principle which lives. That's the remedy. So it isn't that within truth we find the remedy itself. I mean, just as taking truth and isolating it out of the flow of the seven and just bringing it out of that flow and just asking for truth to heal without understanding what the basis of healing would be, which would be mind, spirit, soul, which constitute the principle, which lives. That, as a state of consciousness, is the remedy which heals, you see. So you can see how she didn't start the chapter with medicine, theology, science, can't we? Because, well, what heals? What's the remedy that heals, you see? She'll start out, Max begins here with saying that truth is the only remedy. He gives that in the essence of the epitome for truth. And therefore, well, what is that remedy? You see, it's already an outcome. It's already an effect. And that's one of the qualities of truth, is that it is an effect. So that's what we want to keep remembering now when we go through these epitomes, not looking for trying to squeeze out of that isolated category of truth itself some kind of a mysterious remedy. We will see then that Mrs. Eddy talks about how the divine mind is the remedy of truth. Can we hear? Mind is that which has gone before, isn't it? That mind, which is spirit, soul, which constitutes the basis of the principle which lives, that's the remedy. So therefore, that's why we speak that mind is the medicine, which is taken as the remedy. What is the remedy we give? We give the medicine of mind. And what constitutes that medicine of mind? Mind's ideas. Mind's ideas are the medicine that we take as the remedy to heal all error. Why do we take mind's ideas as the medicine? Why? We've discussed it. This will bring it out. Because what will mind's ideas do? Mind's ideas heal. Why do ideas heal? What are they healing? Matter? Beliefs. Misconceptions. See, the spiritual heals the mental and heals the physical. She'll bring this out over and over and over in this chapter, as I've mentioned a few times already this week. And now we're really going to get it. How she'll show how the spiritual, which is based on mind, spirit, soul principle, as the basis of that principle, that mind's ideas heal. Why do mind's ideas heal? Because the problem before us is that false beliefs are the problem. Those false beliefs, as we see, they constitute mentality. And those false beliefs objectified are called the physical claims. So the spiritual, the ideas, heal the mental, heal the false beliefs, And when ideas heal the mental and heal false beliefs, they heal the physical. Because the physical is a realm, which Mrs. Eddy says is a realm of illusions. It's a realm of unreality. It doesn't exist by itself. The physical is just the mental objectified. The physical is just a realm where beliefs objectify themselves, called the physical. So if we have a physical claim, we see that it's some belief objectified. So we can see, therefore, why when we come now to this point of medicine, the epitome, return to our epitome book, where the epitome, Max, gives us that truth is that Christian Science replaces the common belief in the curative effect of drugs with truth as the only remedy. Well, first of all, science replaces. That science at this point now is based on mind, spirit, soul, which constitute the principle of that science. So mind, spirit, and soul, the principle of that science is going to replace the common belief in the curative effect of drugs with truth is the only remedy. So you see, the belief in drugs has got to be replaced with truth is the only remedy, showing somehow that drugs are not effective. Why? Because we just see that that it would just be one error fighting another error, one physical belief fighting another physical belief.